Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
He said, you want to be great in organization? First thing you better remember, you better humble yourself. Listen to me. Now watch this. Don't miss this. Jesus did not say to become childish. We are warned against being childish. He said become childlike. And there's a big difference. He said, you want to be great in my corporation, you better humble yourself like this child. What's this child know? He knows he's not in charge. Most adults don't understand that when they're part of an organization. How many people that are part of a business think they're in charge? Is your name on the building? Then you're not in charge. Jesus said, there's only one head. There's only one head to the body of Christ. I'm it. And if you want to stay big in my corporation, if you want to move up the ladder of my corporation, remember something, you're not in charge. You know, I've worked with kids for years, 20 years. You walk into a classroom, a gymnasium, a cafeteria, a playground where there's nothing but children playing, and ask this question. I've done it before, walk into a gymnasium, a bunch of kids playing, throwing dodgeball. Hey, who's in charge in here? And they had to stop and stare at you. You in charge? I mean, walking into this kindergarten, you in charge, son? No, sir. Well, who's in charge? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You look like you're in charge. You're not in charge? No, sir. Teacher's in charge. Well, where's teacher at? I don't know. You look like you're in charge. You sure? No, sir. You know, just scare him. Say, like, I'm not in charge. Every kid knows something. Every kid knows somebody bigger than them, smarter than them, taller than them, is going to tell them what to do, what to wear, where to go, when to go to bed, when to get up. Every kid knows something. I'm not in charge of my life. I don't own a car. I can't drive myself. Every kid understands something. They are not in charge of their life. Jesus said, you want to be big in my corporation? You want to be great? The number one thing you better remember is you're not in charge. The minute you try to be in charge, you're in trouble. You're going down the ladder. To stay great, to be great, stay great, just remember this. I'm the head. I see the big picture. I know what's going on. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. You know why? God sees the big picture. We don't. God's got our best interest at heart. Sometimes we think God's trying to cut us short. God's never trying to cut us short. He's come to give us life and life more abundant. So the number one childlike trait you need for greatness in life is to remember, no sweat, I'm not in charge of my life. God's got my steps ordered. To order my steps, directing my past. He's got my life planned out. He's going to show me things to come. I'm not in charge. I don't have to be anxious or worry about tomorrow, take no thought about tomorrow. God's got my future secure. My job is just to be obedient. Remember the thing about obedience? What's a kid supposed to do? Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, that it'll be well with you and you live long. What does every kid learn right out of the chute? I need to obey. Why? So I'll live long and it'll be well with me. What happens when you're obedient? Well, Isaiah 1:19, if I'm willing and obedient, I eat the good of the land. Job 36:11, if I'm obedient, I'll spend my days in prosperity, my years in pleasure. Kids know something. You want it to go well with you? You need to be obedient. You're not in charge. So that's the first childlike trait. The second childlike trait, now listen to me, there are 24 in the Bible. There are 24 childlike traits that if we remember as we grow into adulthood and not forget them, you know, everybody grows up eventually thinks, now I'm in charge of my own life. I'm kind of like, you know, the John Wayne or whatever, you know, I don't need anybody. Yes, you do. You need everybody. There are no mavericks. You know, I need God to order my steps, direct my path, show me things to come. Second childlike trait besides humility, and that's the first one, second childlike trait is neediness. Needy. Kids are needy. You ever think kids need something all the time? Your barren kids always got their hand out. They want something. They need something all the time. Ephesians 3:20. God said, I will do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that you can ask or think. Now listen to me. God is not offended that we're needy. Boy, you got to get this. God is not offended that we're needy. Sometimes the devil makes us feel bad that we go to God to ask for something. He said, you have not because you ask not. You need to ask that your joy be made full. I know what you need before you ask, but I need you to ask. God is not offended that we're always asking. You know something? My kids are always asking for more. I've taken my kids. I fixed ice cream for my kids before. I got a lot of kids in my house. I can't buy a little bucket of ice cream, people. I got to buy a big bucket of ice cream. You fix your kids a bowl of ice cream. I've done that before. Make them a bowl. And you know what the first thing one of my kids will say? They'll be leaving the kitchen with a bowl heaped up with ice cream. And before they get out of the kitchen, one of them's going to turn around and say, is this all we get? Is this all we get? Are we going to get any more? Fight this? Do I get more? Well, shut your face and eat that. You know, we go out to the pizza place. Man, I got a ton of people. We take up two tables with all my family. I order two giant pizzas and breadsticks and salad. And I'm telling you, we'll say the prayer, get ready to eat pizza. And one of my kids will open his mouth and say, are we going to order any more if we eat this? If we eat this, do we get any more? Like, then they know how fast to eat. And I'm telling you, it doesn't bother kids to ask for more. It does not offend them. I've had kids come home with two F's on a report card and 5 minutes later ask me for $20. And it not faze them one bit, not bother them a bit to ask for more. Jesus said this, you're going to be great in my kingdom, you better learn how to ask because you get nothing you don't ask for. And you sit there with all your pride and all your self-righteousness and you won't ask, you don't get it simply because you're trying to earn it. You get it because you're not asked. You know, I was in a church back east some years ago, and I was in we were on our way to the auditorium, and as we're going down the hallway, and on the nursery door, we were walking by the nurseries, by the toddler room, and it had a piece of paper on the door of the toddler classroom, and it was called the Toddler's Creed. The Toddler's Creed. And I just stopped and glanced at it a minute, and it went something like this. Can you imagine little toddlers in a classroom? It said the Toddler's Creed. If I want it, it's mine. If it's laying there and nobody's using it, it's mine. If I was playing with it a little while ago and I laid it down, it's still mine. If we're playing a game with a lot of parts, all the parts are mine. And if it looks like it's mine, it's mine. You ever notice something? You can put two toddlers in a nursery with 100 toys and they'll break out in a fight in 60 seconds. I mean, the kid's got more toys than he can play with and handle, and some other kid pick a toy up across the room and they'll scream, mine, mine, mine. And so God's trying to show us something. Jesus said, you want to be great in my kingdom? You better learn how to ask. You cannot out-tap me. You cannot offend me by asking. You have not because you ask not. You know, the great prayer of Jabez that, you know, took the world by storm practically. I don't think God had a prophetic word for the church in the last days. He said, I got a lot of things you need to do, but you're not going to get it done if you don't ask me. You know, Jabez got what he wanted, not because he earned it. He got it simply because he asked for it. You just got to ask. So number one trait is childlike humility. You got to remember, I'm not in charge. Number two, you got to stay needy. It should not offend you. I keep a running list of stuff that I'm praying about. If I went to my briefcase right now, I've got with me in the car, I have a running list, not one page, people, pages. I've got one for my business or my ministry. I've got one for my family. Things I'm praying for and asking for every day. Have you ever gone, not years, man, I sure wish we could get this out. We sure need one of these. Well, if we could ever get one of these, it sure would be good if we just have one of these. And you never once prayed about it. You've never once asked God for it. God says, I know what you need before you ask, but you have not because you ask not. Somehow you think if I just be good or whatever, keep my nose clean, God will just deliver it to my mailbox. That's not how it works. God said, you have not because you ask not. If you ask, your joy will be made full. So what it is, the kids, I love kids. Kids will ask. You ever hear kids when they come around trick-or-treating around Halloween? You know, as Christians, you don't celebrate it, but you know, if you're in the neighborhood, you're there. So man, we're participating. We'll give candy and tracts and whatever. Kids will come up, and of course, we've got this big ball of candy. I watch little kids come up, and they'll open the door and say, well, I'll get you some candy. And I watch little kids just stick their hand out, and they'll grab a little handful, and they'll put it back in the sack, and they'll watch it, because usually there's two or three, and they'll be looking at me, and they'll reach in one more time. And they're looking to see if I'm going to respond. And I just keep staring. They'll grab a second handful. And until I say something, they'll just keep scooping, man. I'll watch them scoop half a bowl of candy. What is it like? And it's like God loves that. Because look at that. Look at that. That kid wants more. I love people who want more. You know what God said about Jacob and Esau? Before they were ever born in their mother's womb, God said, Jacob I love and Esau I hate. God, why do you hate Esau? And if you study that, God said, I hate Esau because he does not value what I value. What is it you value, God, that Esau doesn't value? Esau doesn't value the right of the firstborn to get the double blessing. I got a double blessing for him because he's the head of his family. He's going to be responsible now for the orphans, the widows, the unemployed. He's going to be responsible for his mother when his daddy passes away. So since he's the eldest, not only does he get an equal portion of silver, gold, camel, sheep, cattle, but he gets a double portion as the head of his family in order that he might take care of his family. Now, you know what that means? I always wonder, why wouldn't Esau want the second portion? I don't know, a man wouldn't want twice as much. Wouldn't you like twice the paycheck you've got? Twice the size of the house? Twice the size of the car? Twice the amount of land? I mean, who wouldn't want more? I don't know anyone that wants some more. Why was it Esau didn't want the double portion until I realized what it was? When you study that, you've got to understand, as a Jewish boy is going to become the head of his tribe, he never gets a penny of that second portion. That's not his. That second portion is to enable him to take care of those in need. And so Esau thinks of him and he says, I don't want this. I don't get it anyhow. He said, so he sold the birthright to his brothers for a bowl of beans one day. Esau's been out in the field hunting. He comes back. He's so hungry. And everybody knows he gets the double portion. It's the oldest. But see, his younger brother wants it. Jacob wants that double portion. So he tells him, said, I want it. And he sold it to him for a bowl of beans. And here's the thing. In essence, here's what Esau's saying. I don't want to be responsible for any snot-nosed orphan, for any crying widow, or for anybody who doesn't have a job. I only want to be responsible for my own thumb-sucking self. And here's what God is saying in Hebrews. I hate people who go through life only wanting to be responsible for their own thumb-sucking self. But I love people who go through life not only being responsible for them, but are willing and desirous to become responsible for other people. He said, those people I'm going to bless with abundance because they want to be responsible. And since they do, I'm going to give them the wherewithal to get it done. I like people that are needy. I like people that ask for stuff. So childlike humility, childlike neediness. Third thing is childlike simplicity. You ever notice how simple kids are? Childlike simplicity. Let me give you a scripture on this. I love this right here. Childlike simplicity, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. In other words, we were designed and created by God to have one focus in our life, and that's Jesus. Everybody's to have one focus, Jesus. We have something else in our life. Folks, though, more than Jesus, life gets real complicated. You ever had days when you had so much to do, you didn't do anything? You ever had those? Oh, we've had them. Where the laundry's piled so high, you don't wash a single piece of clothing. The dishes are stacked so deep, you don't wash one of them because they're just overwhelming and there's too much. All you want is a Prozac and a pillow and take a 24-hour nap because you're just overwhelmed. Do you know the devil's a master of getting us buried under so much stuff that's not our stuff, we don't want to get anything done? That's why we get ineffective and inefficient in our homes, our lives. Why? Too much stuff. He said, listen to me. Children don't have that problem. Children's lives are simple. You ever gone out to a restaurant, maybe after church or whatever, you go out and they give you a menu at the restaurant? You know, they don't give little menus. Used to got one-page menus. Now you got menus that just keep folding out. It's like a puzzle. It just keeps folding. It's got pictures and color, and it's got breakfast and dinner and lunch. And if you don't like that menu, they've got the menu of the day. They've got the special menu. Then they've got the dessert menu. And they've got the menu for all the drinks. They've got menus for everything. And you're looking at a library of books. No wonder you can't get your order in 60 minutes. But you know, kids don't have that problem. Child's menu is real simple. You know, every restaurant has a child's menu. It's an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper with one Crayola crayon. It's got your four basic food groups on it, your hamburger, your hot dogs. It's got your grilled cheese and your chicken fingers. It's like, and the kid's not even, I mean, you've not even sat down yet given your drink order, and that kid's already colored his menu. I want a grilled cheese. Why? Because life's simple. He's not complicated. He just wants a grilled cheese. He's screaming his head off. You don't even have your iced tea. He's screaming his head off for some grilled cheese. Jesus said this. Let me tell you something. The devil's going to try to complicate your life with stuff that's not your stuff. People get up every morning trying to get to the news to find out what hell happened to somebody else's life while they were sleeping. They can't wait to get to work. Instead of sharing good news and a word of encouragement, they can't wait to get to work to share about the hell they saw on TV while they were sleeping that happened to somebody else's life. Instead of being the bearer of good news, we're just passed on all the hell that's going on. He said, you're making your life complicated. You're feeding on stuff you can't do anything about. That's not your stuff. You're anxious about a lot of things. You can't sleep good. Why? Man, you're feeding on stuff, not your stuff. Keep your life simple. You know, it's what Jesus did when he talked to Peter and Peter's walking on the water. Peter was like a little kid, saw Jesus walking on the water one night. Jesus, is that you? Is that you? Can I come out there? You know, kids think they can do anything. My five-year-old thought he could drive the car. Daddy, I can drive. I can drive. Sure, I can. I can drive. I said, no, you nuts. Your feet can't touch the pedal. Sure can. I can scoot down and get it started and sit up and steer and scoot down and push the pedal and get up and steer. I can do it. I can climb that mountain. I can ride that bicycle. Kids believe they can do anything. They have to grow up and become adults to realize that they can. Peter went walking on the water, and all of a sudden, you know, he's the only one that got out of the boat. You know, he's the only one that Jesus yelled at. When he started to sink, he's the only one that Jesus yelled at. You know why? He's the only one doing anything. I'm sure Peter thought, how come you're not yelling? The other guys didn't get out of the boat. Jesus said, they're not doing anything. He said, you know why you sunk? Because you didn't keep your eyes on me. You took your eyes off me. Peter started out like a little child walking on the water, but he turned into an adult halfway out there, and he turned into a tourist, and he started looking around like a tourist, looking at all the sights, at the waves and stormy, thinking, man, this was stupid. Oh, this is deep. And the minute he got his eyes off Jesus, he started to sink. Jesus said, you want to be great? Stay humble. Stay needy. Stay simple. We're going to pick this up next time, talk about some more traits. God has got you destined for greatness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.